Well, that was a blessing. Thank you so very much. And it's good to see those of you who are here and those of you who are sitting in your reclining chairs drinking iced tea at home. I wonder when we're going to install reclining chairs here. But several things that I've been doing of late, of course, has been virtual. And I did a graduation virtually in Nashville, Tennessee. It was interesting. Actually, it was 3 weeks ago, I think. Noontime, I went to the Dulles Airport, walked in. I was the only one there. I have pictures on my phone as I was walking through, walked all the way to the gate. And when I got to the gate, I said, am I the only one on this flight? He said, no, there are two other people joining you. And there was absolutely nobody there. The thing that amazed me was when you walked down, there were no airplanes at any of the gates. I mean, no airplanes at all. And I asked the guy at the gate when I arrived, I said, where are the airplanes? He said, if you walk to the end of the terminal, B terminal, and look out on the runway, you'll see them all stacked up one behind the other. And sure enough, that's where they all were. So I left here, flew to Charlotte, and Charlotte was packed with people. Flew from Charlotte to Nashville. Nashville was packed with people. The difference between states that were open and states that were closed. It was quite a contrast. But I did a virtual graduation there. We were supposed to do it in Chiang Mai, Thailand. And so we did the graduation for the international students. And then I did another Grace conference, did that virtually. But virtually, I've not been doing anything. And we've had 26 meetings canceled as a result of the virus, meetings that have already canceled throughout the rest of the year. We still have international meetings that are on the calendar. Don't know if they'll pan out or not. We have a meeting in Australia, meeting in Philippines and China. Wuhan. It's on the meeting. It's on the calendar right now for December. And if I go to that, you'll probably want me to quarantine for 4 months after I get back. You know, I want to say before I begin tonight, I've not had the opportunity of doing this in his presence. But I appreciate our pastor. I've had the opportunity, since I've not traveled, to sit and hear him quite a lot. And it's really been a blessing. A few months ago, I was in Atlanta, and I told Ron Allen, and some of you know who Ron Allen is. He's been here a couple of times speaking. I sat under his ministry for a number of years in San Francisco, Calvary Baptist Church. I operated out of there before I moved here. And he's almost a splitting image of Ron Allen. Your mannerisms, the content of your messages. I said, when I sit in church, it's like sitting there and listening to my pastor that I had for 12 years. And that is a compliment because he is a deep thinker and his messages are strictly God's word, nothing else. And I appreciated so much the series that has these past on the home and the message this morning, outstanding message. We are very fortunate indeed to have Brother Abby as our pastor. Well, tonight, some of you have been down this road before. I think in the 26 years that we've been here, I think I've done this message 4 times to the church. I used to do it when Brother Hansen was here every year in the school. Music paints pictures. But I want you to look at music paints pictures tonight in different eyes. I want you to see it as I intend it. I do not intend it as a music message. And I will make the statement over and over again that this message is not about music, though I'm using music as a tool of illustration. This message came as a result, in Memphis, Tennessee, as a youth pastor, I preached the message to my young people. Pastor heard the message, wanted me to bring the message to the church, then wanted me to do it at a pastor's fellowship. And then as a result of the pastor's fellowship, there are many pastors who wanted me to come and bring these thoughts to their congregation. Since 1978, I have done this message now nearly 1,800 times. And I believe it to be, probably as a child of God, the most important thing that we could consider. The message is about your mind. Because as goes the mind, so goes everything. As a matter of fact, the passage of Scripture that I'm using is Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, the first part of the verse. You'll know this verse very well before you leave because we will say it together over and over again. Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Say that part of the verse with me, everybody together. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Say it again. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let me shorten the phrase for our purpose this evening and simply say it like this. As a man thinketh, so is he. Everyone together. As a man thinketh, so is he. Say it again. As a man thinketh, so is he. Every time I say as a man thinketh, I want you to say so is he. As a man thinketh. As a man thinketh. As a man thinketh. Those of you in your reclining chair, you should be doing the same thing right now. As a man thinketh, so is he. Used to be a book, As a Man Thinketh, a little bitty book that's been around for hundreds of years. Excellent book because it deals with the most important commodity you have, your mind. I need Brother Vandenberg to come right now. I told him I was going to use him tonight. Yeah. I was going to abuse him tonight. Use him tonight. I want to illustrate this verse of Scripture. As a man thinketh, go ahead and come right up here. We're not social distancing. By the way, I call it antisocial distancing. There's nothing social about it. Actually, what we're going to do is we're going to illustrate Proverbs 23 and verse 7. As a man thinketh, hold out your hands just like that. Now, what he's holding in his hand is his brain. Let him see what's inside. Nothing. How many of you already knew that? Would you hold your hands in the air? That's not kind. Well, I'm going to help him tonight. I'm going to feed information to his mind because this is important. Because as a man thinketh, and we can only think about the things that are in our mind. So I'm going to begin by using music as the tool of illustration. Whenever we listen to music, something interesting takes place. The music goes in the ear. And when it goes in the ear, it then goes to the brain. So that as we're listening to music, we're actually feeding information to our brain through the music we listen to. Now, the question is, how much information do you have in your mind having been placed there through the medium of music? Actually, quite a bit. Right now, you're going to sing some songs together. We'll let everybody sing with us. Let's sing together our ABCs. Are you ready?
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M.
That's far enough. Aren't you impressed? He remembered his ABCs. But so did you. I didn't see anybody turn to anybody else and say, oh, man, how does that go? What's the tune? What's the first letter? No, you just reached in your brain and pulled it out. How long has it been since you've sung that song?
30 years.
And yet you can still reach in your brain and pull it out. Now, some people may have done it this week. Whether it's this week or 30 years ago, it's something that's in your mind. And interestingly enough, it's there to stay. Mary had a little lamb.
Mary had a little lamb, little lamb, little lamb.
Mary had. Now, how long has it been since you sung that song?
Just last week.
You see, it can be years and years and years, but you're reaching into your brain and you're pulling out information that has been stored there in the mind. Amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet. Blessed assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. What are we doing? We're just reaching into our mind and we're pulling out information that has been stored there. So let me ask the question, how many songs in whole or in part you have in your brain? It's according to how old you are. Because the older you are, the more you have in your mind. And that is important because remember, as a man thinketh, it could be good information that has been fed there. It could be bad information, but it is in the mind. We also read. Whenever we read, we open a book and we see the words or the pictures. And the words and our pictures we see, they go in the eye and they go to the brain. His brain hasn't been that heavy in a long time. You know, you do remember the things you read? Young people who take tests, oh, no, I don't. How many of you have ever had this happen? You're taking a test, you come down to number 5, and you say, oh man, I know that answer. Oh man, I know that answer. I can even remember where it is in the book. It's on the left-hand side of the page in the right-hand column near the bottom. Man, I know right where it's at. Anybody ever had that happen? You knew right where the information was. I see your hands. Remember when you took a paper to the teacher? You said, what is the answer to number 5? And just as soon as the words were formed in her mouth, just as soon as the first words started coming out, oh yes, now I remember. What happened? You recalled it as a result of some stimulus. But notice, it was in the mind. And there are things that are in our mind, whether they can be brought consciously out or whether they're subconsciously there and need some stimulus to bring them out. They're still in the mind. And that's important because as a man thinketh, and we can only think about the things that are in our mind. And sometimes they can be recalled at an inopportune moment. We also watch television. When we watch television, we see what's on the screen. We hear what goes in our ear. We see what goes in our eye. And it goes to our brain. We are programmed by television. We really are. Let me prove it to you. How do you spell relief? Together? R-O-L-A-I-D-S. It's an amazing thing that when I say that, that pops into people's minds because they saw the commercial years ago. And I thought to myself, that's an amazing thing. We watch television, we can't even spell anymore. Now, how many have ever seen a rerun on television? Would you hold your hand in the air? How did you know it was a rerun? The answer often given is because I've seen it before. That's true. But as a result of seeing it, where is it stored? It is stored in the mind. It is amazing how much information can be stored in our mind. And it might be years since you saw the program earlier. But as you're rewatching, you're thinking, oh, I already know what's going to happen because it is stored there. It's at this point, Brother Vandenberg will illustrate Proverbs 23:7. Just dump your brains on the floor. Just dump your brains on the floor. Dump your brains on the floor! What came out? I know what you're thinking. Not much. What came out? Exactly what went in. And that's Proverbs 23:7. Hold your hands again. As a man thinketh, if I put good things in, I get good things out. Because as a man thinketh. If I put bad things in, I get bad things out because as a man thinketh. If I put godly things in, I get godly things out because as a man thinketh. If I put ungodly things in, I get ungodly things out because as a man thinketh. And that's Proverbs 23:7. We are becoming what we think. And what we think is as a direct result of what goes into our mind through our eye gate, through our ear gate. Thank you. You can have a seat. Just leave your brain there. Just leave your brain there and just go have a seat. I'm always impressed they find their way back to their seat without their brain. Three things take place in one's mind as one listens to music. Keep in mind, it's not a message about music. But I want you to see how your mind works and why it is important. And when we look in the Word of God in just a moment at the verses of Scripture, every verse that I will quote is written to the child of God. And every verse is regarding the most important commodity you have, your brain. Music paints pictures. That's the first point, the title of the message. Music paints pictures. What I mean by that is this. As you're listening to something, your mind is not idle. As you're listening to something, your mind goes into gear. There's an image, there's a picture, there's a thought, there's an idea, there's a mood, there's a feeling that is established while you're listening to the music. What I'm going to do right now, have a little bit of fun. I'm going to paint an image, a picture, a thought, an idea, try to establish the mood, and then I'm going to play music to match it. I'm purposefully programming you with four pieces of music. The first picture is a midnight stroll through a graveyard. It's a very eerie night. The only sound you hear is the sound of your heart as it's beating. The wind begins to blow. You walk around the tombstones. You're all alone. All of a sudden, a black cat jumps out in front of you. Notice your heart stopped beating. You stepped back on the stick and it cracked and your heart started beating again. One preacher said, "That's not my heart, that's my feet getting out of that graveyard." Well, let's imagine this graveyard setting and you are all alone in the graveyard. The piece of music we're listening to sets a mood, an image, a thought, an idea. Picture in your mind the graveyard, the tombstones, the moon. Music has the ability of painting an image, a thought, an idea, establishing the mood and feeling in your mind. All I have to do to change the picture is change the music. How many of you have ever been to an actual circus before, a real live circus? Would you hold your hand in the air? Wonderful. Many of you. Well, think about the circus atmosphere as we go to the circus just now. Again, an image, a thought, an idea, a circus atmosphere. In San Francisco, I took David, Daniel, and Adrian, and here's the way they acted. "Daddy, Daddy, look, there goes a guy riding a unicycle." "Wow, Daddy, there goes an elephant riding a unicycle." Now, let me ask you a question. With circus music playing, is there anyone who has their thought right now on a graveyard setting? It's interesting that as you're listening to music, your mind is actually being controlled consciously or subconsciously. Football game, halftime, picture the marching band. Imagine the marching band as they march down the field in perfect formation, beautiful uniforms. Or perhaps you have an image in your mind of a parade, and there goes a float and a marching band and another float, and you see the whole procession pass. Music has the ability of suggesting the image, the thought, the idea. Years ago, there was a movie called Sleeping Beauty. It was a ballroom setting. Picture the ballroom. The chandeliers hanging from the ceiling. The white columns reaching from the floor to the ceiling. Picture the ladies in long, white, flowing dresses. The men in tuxedos. The ballroom setting. Now, what I've done thus far is I have purposefully programmed you. It does not matter how interested you are. It's the very fact that you've heard sound. You've heard a suggestion of an image, a picture, a thought. The sound of the music has gone into your mind. And so now you have been consciously or subconsciously programmed. But I do not need to do this, because it's what all of us have been doing our entire life. For as we have listened to music in our mind, there have been images and pictures and thoughts and ideas and moods and feelings that have been established in our mind through everything that we've listened to. And we may not have been aware of it. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm not going to prepare you at all. I'm just going to play a piece of music. And when you have a picture come to your mind, I want you to just hold your hand in the air. Most people, especially those of us adults, we'll have a picture within our mind in less than 1 second. Music paints pictures. So when you have a picture, let's see who's first. When you have a picture, hold your hand in the air. What picture comes to your mind? Hands already. So at the count of three, tell me the picture that's in your mind. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Lone Ranger. Now, people have different pictures sometimes. Sometimes I've had small children. They say, "Dudley Do-Right." I guess they used it Saturday morning cartoons. I've never known that before. But the one I like is to be in church and the hand go up, "Horse racing!" But at least they had a picture. The interesting thing is many people don't even know what the name of the song is. They just associate it with that which has gone into their mind over and over and over again. Now, why is this even important? Because of the mind. As a man thinketh, so is he. Suppose a person is listening to godly music. That means there are godly pictures, godly images, godly thoughts, godly ideas being established in his mind. That works to his advantage. because as a man thinketh, so is he. Those are the things that can come from his life. But suppose a person is feeding their mind that which is ungodly. That means there are ungodly images, ungodly pictures, ungodly thoughts that are being programmed in his mind. And as a man thinketh, those are the things that can come from his life. And sometimes the Christian is not feeding their mind that which is godly. And that's the reason sometimes Christians live ungodly lives. Though this message is not about music, let me guide your thinking for a moment. The most listened to music on the planet is rock music in its 38 different stylings. I could care less what the stylings are. Let me ask the question, what are the pictures? If one listens to rock, then he is listening largely to that which is not godly in its lyrical content. And some of the most ungodly content comes from those who might be listening to rap. And I'm amazed how many Christians have rap in their playlist. But as we're listening to those things, we're feeding our mind that which is ungodly. And as a man thinketh, so is he. But wait a minute. Rock music is not the issue. And never has been. But Jeff, I need you to come help me again. Let me illustrate it. And if I didn't do it this way, there's something you would miss. You know, sometimes when I, over the years, have been preaching on rock music, mom and dad say, oh boy, our kids need this. Now, we're representing a husband and a wife. Yeah, you're the wife, I'm the husband. Yeah. So, when I'm preaching on rock music, all the parents are in there. Yeah, go, our kids need this, don't they?
Yeah.
You make a good point.
Right, yeah.
No.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, there you are. Let them have it.
That's right, preacher.
Yeah. But then I'll make a statement. Wait a minute, rock music's not the issue. Let me talk about country music for a second. You hear him. He's trying to say there's something bad with country music.
Yeah, what you said.
He doesn't make a very good wife. Here's the point. Everybody knows that the sounds are different. But the pictures are the same. The images, the pictures, the thoughts, the ideas, the moods, the feelings are still mostly diametrically opposed to the principles of purity for the Christian and the having of a godly mind. Thank you. Have a seat. Now, most people say, well, the thing about country is that they're just dealing with real life issues. Yes, they are, but not Christian real life issues. And so it doesn't matter if one's listening to rock or one listening to country. He can feed his mind all kinds of ungodliness. And remember, as a man thinketh, but wait a minute, music's not the issue. That's the reason I say this is not a message about music. It's a tool of illustration. Suppose a person never listened to music in their entire life. No music at all. Could that person have an ungodly mind? And the answer is yes. You don't have to listen to music to have an ungodly mind. All you have to do is turn on your television. Because everything that you could hear in ungodly music, you can now watch on television. And it doesn't matter if it goes through the eye gate to the brain or the ear to the brain. It's in the brain, and as a man thinketh, so is he. It's amazing how programmed the whole society has become through the medium of television. Something interesting brought to my attention. How many of you are old enough to remember when Gone with the Wind first came out? How many of you are old enough to remember Gone with the Wind? How many of you remember that it was banned from movie theaters? Does anybody here remember why it was banned when it came out from movie theaters? I lived in Memphis, Tennessee. You remember why? It was banned because of one word. One curse word was found in Gone with the Wind. When I lived in Memphis, Tennessee, that's when I discovered that people who wanted to see Gone with the Wind had to go to West Memphis, Arkansas in order to watch it in the theaters because they were playing it there but not playing it in Memphis, Tennessee because of one word. Turn on your television today, now these 40 years later, and how many curse words can you hear over and over and over and over again? Well, you see, our mind is being consciously or subconsciously programmed with actually the filth of the world. And remember, as a man thinketh, so is he. And we can only think about the things that have been stored in our mind. But wait a minute, hold it. Television isn't the issue either. There was a day television didn't exist. There was a day we had no recordings that we would listen to all of these different styles of music. Could people who lived in generations gone by where they did not have the media of television or the media of music, could they have ungodly minds? Well, yes. You can get an ungodly mind by reading. You open a book because the same thing that could be heard on in music or seen on television can now be read from the pages of a book. And one can look at a book and feed his mind with all kinds of ungodliness. And yes, there were days before printing presses. Think of Bible days. Think of the days where there were no books. There was no television. There were no recordings. Could people who lived in Bible days, could they have an ungodly mind? Yes. How? We can get an ungodly mind by just hanging around the wrong people. Hear the way people talk, their conversation, their words they use. Everything that we hear, everything that we see in these individuals becomes part of our life, consciously or subconsciously. The truth of the matter is, it's none of these things, as it's the whole of all of them. Everything I listen to, everything I watch, everybody I'm around, everything I read is making me what I am becoming. If the content that I'm gathering is godly, I'm apt to live a godly life. But if the content of that which I'm gathering is ungodly, I'm apt to live an ungodly life. Even as a Christian, I'm apt to live an ungodly life. Music paints pictures. Then there's a second thing I want you to note, and that is this. Music holds pictures. Say that with me. Music holds pictures. Now, what I mean by that is this. When you're listening to music, you're captive. There's an image, there's a picture, there's a thought that is there, and you're captivated by that which you're listening to. That picture, that image, that thought, that idea is captivated in our mind. We'll illustrate that. I'm going back to the graveyard right now. When I go back to the graveyard, I want you to think of a particular image. Let's think of an image of, let's say Dracula. Dracula in the graveyard. Graveyard image. You're all alone. All you hear is your heart. You're in the graveyard. You see the moon. The wind. Very eerie night. You have the image. You have the picture. Let's add the music. I want to ask this question. How many of you still have your mind on Dracula? How many of you have your mind on the graveyard setting? You see, it's an interesting thing. No matter what you're thinking about, as soon as the music comes on, bang, your picture changes. The image, the thought, the idea. Not only does it change, but you'll hold on to that picture you have till this goes on. Music paints its picture, and music holds you captivated as long as that music is playing. Now, that's important. I want you to see why in just a moment. Let's do it. You may not be convinced. Let's imagine right now we're going to the ballroom setting, and right now we're going to the Cinderella ball. How many of you girls remember reading about Cinderella growing up? Would you hold your hands in the air? Okay, yeah, thank you. How many of you men remember reading about Cinderella? Hold your hand up, Jeff. Do you remember what happened when Cinderella walked into the ballroom? The king's son saw her and said, "Wow." He was so moved, he said it backwards. "Wow." Then he stood on his head and said, "Mom!" Oh, you got that one real fast, didn't you? But he walked up to Cindy and imagined, "Cindy, could I have this next waltz with you?" And Cindy said, "Why, yes." And let's imagine they started waltzing together. Go, Cindy, go! See, Cindy, go! Why are you swinging from the chandelier? And everybody's turning somersaults and flips. With music like this, do you understand why Cinderella lost her glass slipper? It's bound to come off. But you see, the interesting thing is, though you can think about Cinderella ball, though you can think about that ballroom setting, as soon as the music comes on, the picture is gone. Music paints its own picture. And you become captive by the picture that has been painted. Let's imagine right now the marching band is on the field. Say with me out loud three times so your brain becomes programmed. Say marching band. Ready? Marching band. Marching band. Marching band. Hold on to that. Don't let anything take that image out of your mind. Marching band. Marching band. Marching band. Marching band. Marching band. Marching band. How many of you have a different picture right now? Would you hold your hand in the air? Okay. What's the picture in your mind? Pink Panther. I said hang on to the marching band. But you see, you cannot help it. It doesn't matter what you're thinking about. When music comes on, it has its own image, its own picture, according to how you've been programmed, and you become captivated. And you can't turn loose the picture until this dumb thing stops. Imagine the Lone Ranger rides off into the sunset, and he says, "Hi-yo, Silver! Away!" Picture the mess. Kimosabe. Let's branch to the left. Can't you see them right now? Scout and Silver holding hoofs as they ride off to the sunset. See, interestingly enough, we have been so programmed we do not realize the images, the pictures, the thoughts that are in our mind until you start getting them out of order. Why is it important? Here's why. If I'm listening to godly music, that means there are godly pictures, godly images, godly thoughts, godly ideas, and I'm being captivated by them. That's a good thing to bring every thought into the captivity of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if I'm listening to that which is ungodly, as a Christian, if I'm listening to that which is ungodly, I'm becoming captivated by ungodly thought. You know, it's one thing to have a passing thought that's ungodly, but it's altogether a different matter to be captivated by those thoughts for long periods of time. And when we become captivated by ungodliness, we tend to live, as a Christian, an ungodly life. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. And then number three, music paints the picture. It holds the picture in our mind. And this is the scariest of all. It's there for life. The picture is there for life. It absolutely never goes away. Now I'm going to do something right now. I'm going back to 1973. From 1971 to 1973, there was a tune that was played on a commercial. And it has not been used on a commercial since then. So I'm going back to television, 1971, 1973. You have to be at least 45 years old to recognize this, because it has not been played for you who are under 45 years old. But I'm going back in time 45 years ago, and I'm going to play the tune, and I'm only going to play 5 seconds. And when you have the product come to your mind, I want you to hold your hand in the air. Now, this music that I'm going to play was a movie theme. I don't want to know the movie, though you might know it. Sound like a television program that ran for a while? I don't want to know the television program, though you might know it. I want to know the product that was being advertised for just 2 years, from 1971 to 1973. What product was being advertised in a 2-year period on television? I'll wait for the break. Okay. To stop. What product was being advertised? Marlboro cigarettes. Now here we are at Fairfax Baptist Temple. And what do these people have their minds on right now? Cigarettes. I said nothing about cigarettes. I played 5 seconds of a song, and all of a sudden, cigarettes, Marlboro, pops into our mind. Isn't that amazing? Because cigarette advertisement was taken off television in 1973. Do you realize that? There's not been one cigarette advertised on television since 1973. It has been banned in the United States of America. You can take it off television, but you can't take it out of your mind. Because sometimes some stimulus will come along and play the tune, and all of a sudden the image, the picture, the thought, the idea is in the mind once again. Why? Because it has never gone away. There's the interesting thing that needs to be considered about our mind. And that's the reason the mind is so important, because we're collecting information for a lifetime. Many times I can be in a car, get a rental car, turn on the radio, drive down the road, and maybe I'm listening to an easy listening, beautifully orchestrated music station. But sometimes all they're playing is all the old rock songs that I learned years ago. And I can find myself riding down the road, singing along with the words, and all of a sudden stop. Oh man, that's not good. Why can I do that? Because it was placed in my mind when I was a teenager, when I was in my 20s, it was in my mind. And it's still in my mind today. It never goes away. Many times, I can hear a song, tell you where I was, what I was doing, who I was with when I heard the song, because of all the images, pictures, thoughts, and ideas that are still in the mind over decades. Why is it important? Because what we're feeding to our mind is painting an image, a picture, a thought, an idea. We're being captivated by it. If I'm listening to godly music, it's a godly picture. I'm being captivated by godliness. And I can carry it with me for a lifetime. And that's a good thing. But if I'm listening to that which is ungodly, that means I'm painting images that are ungodly, thoughts that are ungodly. I'm being captivated by ungodliness, and I'll carry that. Unfortunately, I'll carry that for a lifetime. And it never goes away. So what does the Bible have to say about these? Listen carefully, because every verse is familiar. But something I think many Christians never consider. We talk about yielding our lives to the Lord. But have you ever considered yielding your mind? Because it's the most important commodity you have. And as a man thinketh, so is he. If there's anything that ought to be given wholly to the Lord, it's our mind. Familiar passage. The book of Romans, of course. Romans chapter 12. The Bible speaks of our mind, be not conformed to this world, speaking to the Christian. Don't be conformed to this world. Well, if I'm conformed to the world, what has preceded this? If I'm conformed to the world, I must be thinking like the world. If I'm conformed to the world, it means I'm doing the things the world does. So I must be thinking like a worldly person. Be not conformed to the world. But it gives us the solution. It gives us the answer in the verse. Be not conformed to the world, but be ye, say it with me, transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. In other words, to the Christian, change the way you think and you'll change the way you live. If you're going to change a life, it begins with the mind. Changing our thinking. How am I going to change my thinking? The only way I can change my thinking is changing what I am putting in. Because I'm apt to think concurrently on the things I'm feasting on concurrently. So as my eye gate and as my ear gate are being fed that which is godly, I'm apt to think on those things that are godly. And that's how the mind can be transformed in an ongoing way. Probably the most important passage regarding the mind is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, 23, and 24. A very important principle there. The Bible says, put off the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now follow the pattern. Put off the old man. So I might say to things that are ungodly, I might say, you know, as a Christian, I'm going to make a choice. I'm going to make a decision. Things that I am currently looking at, listening to, I'm going to take these things and I'm going to put them off because I recognize them to be ungodly. That is a good decision, to put off the things that are ungodly. But it will not change anybody's life. It's not the things we put off that changes us. It's the things we put on. And that's the reason the Bible says, put off the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now, roll up your sleeves and go to work and be renewed in the mind by putting on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. It's not until I make the choice of feasting on that which is godly, feasting on godly music, feasting on godly programming, feasting on the Word of God, filling my mind with godliness, it's not until I make that choice that my life can change. I must put off the old, yes, but in order to be renewed, I must consciously work at putting on that which is godly. Don't miss the first word of the next verse, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Don't miss the first word. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was the first word? Let. And that's the key. You see, nobody can make me have a godly mind. Nobody. Nobody can make me have a godly mind. You know, sometimes we might have rules at our house. We did. We have rules in our house that there's certain music that was never allowed, certain programming on television never allowed. These are all rules, all fences that are very good rules and very good fences to have as a family. But when somebody leaves that home, they can do anything they want to. Young people who live under certain rules at a house, you understand you have to obey the rule while you're there. But when you leave the house, you get in the car, you can do absolutely anything you want to do. Because it is a personal choice that must be made and cannot be made for you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I am the one who makes the choice for my life. You are the one who makes the choice for your life. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true and just and pure and honest and lovely, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, what's the next words? Think on these things. Well, why should I think on things that are pure and just and lovely? And why should I think on those things that are so good? Why? Because as a man thinketh, so is he. The antithesis of that, if I think on things that are ungodly, that's how I'm apt to live. And that's the reason the Bible says we ought to think on things that are godly. Remember Eutychus in the Bible? Eutychus is an interesting character. We don't know a lot about him. One of the only things we do know about him is that he was listening to Paul preach. Paul started at sundown. At midnight, Paul was still preaching. Long message. And Eutychus was sitting in the third loft in the window. And he fell out of the window. And when he hit the ground, it killed him. Now, there's a lesson. Go to sleep in church, you could wake up dead. Now, wait a minute. Why did Eutychus fall out of the window? You say, well, you just told us he went to sleep. Yes, I did say that, but that's not why he fell out. Let me reason with you. Suppose he's sitting in the window like so. That's the way out. That's the way in. Granted, he goes to sleep. And he falls out. Spat. Could not he have fallen in? Could not he have gone to sleep and slumped over and fallen forward and hit his head on the floor rather than falling out the window? When he went to sleep, could he have fallen either way? Sure. Suppose he's sitting in the window sideways. That's the way out. That's the way in. He goes to sleep and out he goes. Why did he fall out? He fell out because he was hanging out. I'm serious. If he'd been hanging in, he would have fell in. But because he was hanging out, he fell out. What's my point? Whichever way you're leaning, that's the way you're going to fall. If you're leaning toward the things of the world as a child of God, that's the way you're going to fall. But if you're leaning toward the things of God, that's the way you're going to fall. If your mind is saturated with things that are godly, you're apt to live a godly life. But if your mind is saturated with things that are ungodly and you're leaning in that direction, you're apt to live an ungodly life because it's based upon the mind. One of the most dangerous things we have in our society today may well be this telephone or your iPad or your connection to the internet, because one has access to everything unimaginably wicked at their fingertips. Why is it? Why is it then when you read through every major Christian organization, when it speaks of young people graduating from high school and going off to college, why is it they all agree that 80 to 85% of the young people who leave the churches going off to college drop out of church? 80 to 85% in every major denomination that you read about, 80 to 85% of young people seemingly lose their faith when they graduate from high school. May I tell you what it is? It's the fact that their minds have been so programmed over the years that they were in high school, even though they may have been even in a Christian school, even though they may have been in church because their parents were making them go to church. But outside of the church and outside of the Christian school, their minds were being programmed by a world system, and their minds were saturated with worldliness, so that when they stepped out of those fences that had been built for them, and they stepped out of those fences for the first time, they made their own choice. And it was based upon that which they had been programmed with for years and years and years. That's the reason I say every young person, every adult, we need to wake up in the morning and say, Lord, help me keep my mind stayed on Jehovah. Lord, help me think about things that are godly today, things that are true and just and pure and honest and lovely. Lord, help me to guard my mind today, because every single day the world will bombard us with its message. Just as we're never taught how to sin, our minds can collect things that are ungodly without even knowing it. We have to roll up our sleeves and consciously work at having a godly mind. It's a conscious effort to have your devotions in the morning to read God's Word. It's a conscious effort to listen to that which is godly purposefully. It's a conscious effort to turn off that which is ungodly and turn on that which is godly. It's a conscious effort to feed the mind godliness. But as a man thinketh, so is he. Have you ever thought about yielding your mind to the Lord? Father, tonight, I pray for those who might be watching, for those who are sitting here. We'll just take a moment and say, Lord, I've yielded my life to you. But Lord, I want to yield my mind. And I want to make a conscious effort to roll up my sleeves and consciously work at bombarding my mind with godliness. Hiding God's Word in my heart. Listening continuously to godly music. And Lord, on the authority of God's Word, as a child of God, our lives can change. Yes, we can become more like Christ. But it all begins with the mind. Much too often, sometimes we have to confess that we are bombarded with all the messages of the world. And if we're not careful, we can be more saturated with things that are ungodly than saturated with those things that are godly. So Lord, tonight, we want to yield to you our mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.